This still isn't perfect, but anyway, what? Now what? I'm going to fire you if you don't. Okay, I'm scheduled. So for Christmas, we'll have part two of Revelation. But I happen to have this sermon because somebody wasn't able to. Oh, yeah, because of the two services. And they asked if I would speak. So I will. But I'm going to talk about Revelation, which is a subject that is interesting to everybody in the church, at least, and a lot of people in the world, and a lot of people don't understand it. We'll talk about those at another time. But what I'd like you to think about is thinking about the book of Revelation and all of the things that are in it. If I could answer all of your questions about the book of Revelation, and you had an opportunity to ask me one question, and I could give you the answer about everything in that book, what would your one question be that you would like me to answer? Think about it. You don't have any questions about Revelation? I'll have you give the sermon then. Okay.
When's the return of Jesus?
When will Christ return? We may or may not like that answer, but when will Christ return is obviously something we all think about. And my letter to Albuquerque yesterday was that, it's almost 2022, and 60 years ago, we were thinking we're going to flee to the place of safety. Not happened yet. Yes, go ahead.
There's only one question that I want to answer, that's whether or not we make it. It's the real question. I don't care when it happens, I don't care what happens.
From the book of Revelation? Does it answer that? Is there something there that does answer that? Yeah, I guess so. Okay, what? Nothing piques your curiosity about the book? Who is the beast?
Revelation.
Yeah. And somebody might follow up with who are the 10 nations that follow the beast. And, okay, so got some. Did you have another one, Tim?
I can come up with another one.
Okay, go ahead.
Who are the two witnesses?
Who are the two witnesses? A lot of people have thought they knew. And like hundreds of people have thought they were the two witnesses overall. Yes. Okay.
What should I do to be ready?
What should I do to be ready? Okay. Actually, we may be able to answer that one. Thank you. Yes.
Who are the two witnesses?
Who are the two witnesses? Now, you want to know one witness and you want to know the other one, so. Okay. Or about the abomination of desolation. Yeah, it's good to have an understanding of that. And as Christ even said, I know you've got one. You were talking about it the other day.
Well, you said one interesting thing.
Yeah, I said one. Go ahead. What's that?
I said there are a lot of interesting things.
Yeah, you just get one, though. Oh, why? Okay, a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about the place of safety.
Got all the answers to that
now. Oh, you've got the answers to that? Okay. Okay, I'll let you cover that then in another sermon. I'm not going there. Where is the place of safety? Some people think it's Petra. Those of you that have been there hope it's not. But anyway. Yeah, a lot of questions people could have, and you could go, you know, about what have the plagues started yet, and you know, are we in the Philadelphia or Laodicean era of the church? A lot of questions we could have about Revelation. Of some of those that you've asked, we could ask which of those are required for salvation. There were a couple here that, you know, it was like, what do I need to do to get ready? Yeah, that one would qualify. But as you go through and you read all of the things that discusses and prophesies, goes, what salvation? Now, you all have, a lot of you have been around the church for a long time. You've got relatives. My aunt, and they never knew the answer to a lot of the questions that some of you thought would be interesting to know about. And I believe they're going to be resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ, whenever that is one of you want to know. So are some of the things that are talked about in the book of Revelation necessary for salvation? Now, some of them are interesting to know. They're all going to happen. How they're going to happen, we don't fully understand. But we want to talk about what parts are necessary for salvation, or what things are most important to God. Why study the book of Revelation? Now, some people make a study of it so that they can, and I've got very, very close friends. Some of my best friends are one of them in particular is really, really into prophecy, and he's got probably a lot better insight than I do on it, because I tend to be more simplistic. But we study Revelation so we can find out who the beast is, who the two witnesses are, where is the place of safety. How are things going to come down and transpire and so forth? There's a lot of those types of things, but what does God want us to know about the book of Revelation that's really necessary for us to know in principle? Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." So he's introducing this book and it says, you are blessed. And we all want to be blessed by God. But he says, blessed is a person who reads the things that are in there. So it's a necessary book, part of the Bible, part of God's word that brings us salvation, helps bring us salvation. And when you read, you hear it, and those who keep it. Is reading and hearing the same thing? No. Yeah, in one sense, you say, you know, we hear the word and we take it in and we read it and take it in. But is he saying here that, well, we listen to it on tape or read it? No, he's saying that we read it. As with the rest of the Word of God, we have to listen to what it says. And then when you listen to what it says, then you have to follow through and you have to do what it says. You have to keep it. You can read, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And a lot of Christianity reads, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but they don't hear it. Okay? God says, remember it. I didn't hear that. That's just an Old Testament thing. And then how many people keep it? Okay, so as we go through Revelation, as we go through all of the Bible, we need to read, we need to hear, and we need to keep it. You know, the Bible talks about there being a famine of the word at the end time. Does that mean that we won't have access to a Bible? Or the Word of God? Yeah, it's happening in parts of the world, but overall, they're not going to be able to take your phone away that has 35 different translations on it, okay, or take the Bibles out of your house. So the Word of God is going to be out there, but it's more of the hearing of the Word that's the famine. The people don't listen to God, and then they don't do what He says. So when you take Revelation, He says, when you go through the book, read it, hear it, and keep the things which are written, for the time is near. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And again, at the end of it, he sandwiches it and he says, "Be sure to keep the things that are in it." Can you keep the two witnesses? Can you keep the beast? Well, what do they say about the two witnesses? What's the story behind it? What's the story behind the beast? If you follow in and do the things that the beast introduces, then you're taking the mark and you're getting off track. You're not keeping God's word. If you don't listen to the two witnesses and do what they warn you about, okay? So there's a keeping the words of the prophecy. And it's not just about intellectual knowledge of interesting prophetic things. So, again, what does it mean to keep the words of the prophecy? And I was going to answer that, but my thing is not coming up here and I can't see ahead. Okay. Same thing in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city." Somebody said, what do I need for salvation? What do I need to do to be ready? This is what it's saying, is that the commandments are there. Do the commandments. Remember God's word. Do what he says. And the prophecies, they're all about getting people's attention to see if people are going to follow God or not, to help them to be able to be punished so they'll get their attention to follow the words of God. It's not just about a bunch of bad things happening to the world. It's why it has to happen to the world for God's plan. So what is the focus of Revelation? Now, you know, we go to the holy days and we, you know, go through on the Feast of Trumpets and go through the plagues and the vials and the trumpets and those things and the things regarding Christ's return. But what is the focus behind all of those things? Why the book? Revelation 22, verse 9. "Then he said to me, worship God." This is the two simple words that give the focus of Revelation. Worship God, whether it's you, whether it's the people down the street, whether it's the beast, or whether it's the people in the past. The whole book is in relationship to the fact we need to worship God. So Revelation is a book that reveals the revealer, the one who is giving the revelation. Revelation about what? Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says, remember God, focus on God. "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come." It takes in God's plan. And focuses on the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the beginning of the plan, the end of the plan. In the sermon on the 25th, we'll talk about, we'll actually go into Genesis and then into Revelation and show literally the beginning and the end, not everything in between. When I mentioned to somebody last Sabbath that I was going to speak about Revelation, was it you, Beth? But said, "Well, you got a lot to cover." I'm not covering the entire book of Revelation. I'm not covering the entire Bible next time, but We will talk about the beginning and the end. And here's, again, a focus. It says it a number of times. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see right in the book. And then what do? We read it, we hear it, and we do it. Okay, focus on Christ, focus on the Father. Revelation 21, verse 6, he said to me, "It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts, and he who overcomes shall inherit all things." Somebody said, "My question is, what do I have to do to make it? You know, to be a part of that kingdom." That's what the book's about. As the focus. And then Revelation 22:13, again, he says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments." Okay, here I am. Here's what I'm saying. Do it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "I'm he that lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to hell and death." Hey, look, I can make this happen where you have eternal life, or you can reject me and resist me and be a part of eternal death. It's up to you. Okay? Or I can resurrect you at the right time, to see if you will follow through at that time. So, again, the focus is on he that lives and was dead and was resurrected. Why? Well, the book of Revelation goes into that. There's a focus in Revelation on the Lamb. Now, I don't know how much you've thought about that, but when you go through the book of Revelation, the word Christ is used seven times. And of course, it's number seven. You double that. The word Jesus is used 14 times. Now, let's stay with the sevens. Lamb is used 28 times. Now, you start with the Lamb, with you as one called, and how can you be called? How can you have your sins forgiven? How can you receive the Holy Spirit? How can you become a part of the family of God? Because of the Passover Lamb. Not the Old Testament Passover Lamb, but Jesus Christ as the Lamb. And so 28 times through this, we're not going to cover all 28, but let's just look at some of the places where Revelation uses the terminology the Lamb. Revelation 5, verse 6 says, "In the midst of the throne stood a Lamb as it had been slain." The Passover. Verse 8, "The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." You know, you pray to God. I assume that you prayed this morning. Your prayers went up to the heavens, and God heard your prayers. His unbelievable abilities to take in everybody's prayers, which he does. And Jesus is there at his right hand, and those prayers come up before the Lamb and before the Father, and they're precious in their sight. They're attending to you. And so when you talk about the Lamb in Revelation, that's one of the things that he does. They're sweet savors. They're these nice odors before God, and say, "Yeah, I'm glad that person is paying attention to me. You pay attention to me, I'll pay attention to you." is what, and I've got a theory, and I wouldn't have the theory if I didn't think I was right, but I believe that God and Christ talk about your prayers and your situation. I mean, you as a husband and wife, you talk about things and analyze what goes on and discuss, and you've got friends you talk with, and I think they talk about your prayers and say, well, what do you think? How should we handle this one? And they're really concerned with you. They care about you. They hear your prayers. And the prayers of the saints are there before the Lamb, and the Lamb is attending to them. He cares. That's why he sacrificed himself for you. Revelation 22, verse 10, the accuser of our brethren, who accuse them before our God day and night, has been cast down. You don't like that, do you? You know, when you get these thoughts in your mind that you didn't want to have, when you fly off the handle and you do something you didn't want to do or say something you didn't want to say, and that accuser of the brethren is there before God saying, she's one of yours. You called her. And you like to have some help with Satan, don't you? Because you can't do it on your own. And it says, how can you possibly make it? You overcome him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb. It's a focus of Revelation. Is that Satan's going to attack, he comes down. Revelation 12 has those discussions about Satan and attacking the church and Christ and us and fleeing to the place of safety and so forth. Well, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Pretty important, isn't it? And the Lamb helps us to overcome Satan because we know we can't do it on our own. Revelation 13:8, and all the earth, all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So there's this book called the Book of Life, and it's called the Book of Life of the Lamb. And I don't know, I've got a sermon about that I give at the feast, but there's this book of life, and it appears as though Jesus, the Lamb, is maintaining that book. What does that consist of? You made a mistake. He forgives that. He blotted out your transgressions. And you go through really a great study on the book of life. But so the Lamb is there maintaining that. And he's taking in the things you do, and the repentance, the forgiveness then. That's what the book's about, is him sacrificing himself for you, you responding to him and doing the things that are written in the book. Revelation 19, verse 7 says, and the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And of course, there's another great study on the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage to Jesus Christ. The Lamb calls us to make ourselves ready for him. You know, you go into the seven churches, and it talks about, okay, you got this issue, repent, overcome. You know, because I'm coming, and I'm going to give you rewards. But we are the bride of Christ. That's how they view us. And so as you go through the book of Revelation, and you can get almost sidetracked by some of the many prophecies that are in there, but the prophecies that are in there are to point us back to the calling that you've been given and your relationship with God. That's the important thing about the book of Revelation, your relationship with God. Revelation 7:14, he washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Ever make mistakes? Ever sin? You know, how are you going to make it? And sometimes we, I'm melted chocolate, man. I'm not there. You know. Well, Christ cleans our sins, the Lamb, the sacrifice, the Passover. He cleanses us from our sins. He enables us to be a part of the kingdom. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, and I know I've mentioned that here before, and you'll hear me say it many times, when it talks about Jesus presenting the church to himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, because he cleanses us and makes us righteous. Revelation 5:6, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations. Yes, you are called as the first fruits, but he died for all. And the book of Revelation points us to that. He redeems the whole world of those who will come to him and who will read and hear and do and accept the blood and the sacrifice of the Lamb, and then they will become a part of his family. And the book of Revelation is showing how that is going to happen. So Revelation is more than a book about prophecy. It's about man's relationship with God. Okay, so if you take that as the basis and the foundation of the book, and then you can go through and say, okay, well, that's why people have to be punished. That's why there's got to be blood up the bridles and these things, because people refuse to repent. And you go into chapter 16 where it says they kept refusing to repent even after all these things. And what does it take to call you? It differs according to the person. Sometimes you have to smack you upside the head. You got to smack mankind upside the head with the thought in mind they're going to repent. And so the focus is salvation for all. It's again, love being part of the first fruits, but it's a humbling thing, not something that causes pride unless we're misfocused. Let's look at some of these scriptures and notice again the focus here. Chapter 5, verse 9 says, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations. He's dealing with everybody through history. 7, verse 9, behold, a great multitude of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb. All people getting their chance, the thing that I think excites us most. Isn't it that second resurrection that is kind of really, and of course the calling in the millennium, but that people get a chance. 10:11, he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. 13:7, authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him. At least those who will worship him will. And then it shows the fate of those who, no matter what happened, continue to refuse to read, to hear, and to obey. If you look through there, again, this ties right in, is a focus on God's judgment for us, for the world, and what that is all about. And so many times here it says, and him who sat on the throne, the ruler, judging. Now, the word judge and judgment is used 15 times throughout the scripture here. And so it's about God judging the world. The prophecies are things that happen so that he will give just judgment and make salvation available to all. And God has the power to do it. In so many places in here, of course, we talk about the Lamb. We talk about God, about his power, about who he is. But he says he's called the Almighty, the Holy Lord God, the Almighty who is and is to come, was, is, and is to come. Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Almighty, all-powerful. Hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, all-powerful, reigns. Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. God's power. He will take place. He will make these things take place. So, we are to study the book of Revelation and look at the focus that God gives and what the just the most basic concept here of to read, to hear, and to do. And as you read through Revelation, people like to speculate a lot. We all do, I think. Maybe you don't. I do. I love speculating. I think it's very important to, sometime when I give this type of thing, I will discuss something and I'll have in big capital red letters, speculate. Okay. Because it says in Revelation 22, verse 18, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book." Okay, we said read it and then hear it. Okay. "If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book." Okay, if you read something in Revelation and say, well, that's false, or it's just fantasy, or different things. As people do. We'll get to a section on that sometime in another part of the series. But he said, okay, if you start messing with me and you start putting your own interpretation on it, then be careful. "And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy," God calls us to repent. Oh, we don't need repentance. We only need Jesus. We only need the cross. Okay, that's taking away from the words of the prophecy that says to accept the Lamb, to live by His word. God will take away His part from the book of life that the Lamb is keeping track of, from the holy city, from the things that are written in this book. So we need to read the book, and we need to read it and to hear what it says, what it really does say, not what we maybe wish it would say, or that we think, well, God inspired me and so I'm one of the two witnesses. I mean, I think that would be, if you declared yourself one of the two witnesses, I'd be excessively skeptical of you. Personally, nothing, no personal offense, but I would start fearing if I were to do that, which some have done. But anyway, it's a great book. It's a hopeful book. It's a helpful book to help keep us focused on the coming kingdom and God's plan. So let's read it. Deuteronomy 12 also says, 12 verse 32, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to or take away from it." Speculate all you want. But keep in mind you're speculating about things instead of declaring that God revealed this to you. Now, if He does, I'm not going to take that away, but I'm still going to be skeptical, frankly. Nothing personal. That's the end of Revelation, part one. Read it, hear it, and do it.